Good afternoon, brethren. Some 2 years ago, in fact, over 2 years ago, I gave a sermonette on the first and great commandment. In that sermonette, I mentioned that God is number one and he will not take second place to anybody or anything. Also, that the word before can also be translated besides or in my sight. This shows that we can have no other gods of any sort, no matter how inferior to God, our Father. Without keeping that first commandment, you cannot correctly keep any of the other commandments. So that raises a question. Why have a second commandment? If God is the only God, doesn't this cover the second commandment about idolatry as well? Actually, no. If we have a look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, that's Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, we can read, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or as that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Continuing in verse 23, that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 23, "You shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves." Now, God understands human nature. Notice what happened with the Israelites when Moses was too long on the mountain and they made a golden calf. They did not say this golden calf was one of the gods of Egypt. They said in Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, that's Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, last part, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Basically, this represents God. And the next day, Aaron proclaimed a feast to the Lord. This was all done in God's name. Even when Jeroboam was setting up his religion after the split between Judah and Israel, he did not say the calves he set up were pagan gods. Instead, he said in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28, that's 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28, "Therefore the king asked for advice and made two calves of gold and said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" These calves were representatives of the true God. Now, God understands that this is the way human nature works. We like to have a concrete thing we can look at to represent God when we worship, which is why for 6,000 years, mankind has been prolific in creating idols. God knows our nature and says that he does not want us to think of him in terms of a picture or a statue. He does not want to be limited to a representation. Who is the prime beneficiary when we obey God's commandments? Is it God? Does he need something from us? We are the prime beneficiaries. God does not get offended if we worship an idol, but he says, "I am not the created. I am the creator, and I don't need you to put me in a frame or make a statue representing me. These are just created things." God will not be limited by physical things. We can read in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 48 to 50. That's Acts, chapter 7, verses 48 to 50. We are reminded in this verse, these verses, that God does not need a physical house to dwell in. We read there, "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet said, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all of these things?'" You only have to read how Jesus Christ is described in the beginning of the book of Revelation. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Now, God loves us, and he gives us his commandments for our benefit. He knows that if he did not tell us not to make idols,
stuff.
We would make idols. And this would help us to draw away from him. Now, when Israel was going in the promised land, they were told to destroy the nations therein. They were told not to allow their children to marry them and to destroy all their images. God knew that these people would corrupt the Israelites and lead them away from God and away from his blessings. So in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 5, that's Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 5, we read, "He told the Israelites when they went into the promised land, 'But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire.'" All of these were concerned with idolatry. God knew that if any of these idols were not destroyed, the people would ultimately start to worship them and turn away from him. As is mentioned later in this chapter, the idols would be a snare to the people of God. Continuing in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, he calls them a holy people. We read there, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." He called them a holy people as he calls us to be a holy people today. To be a holy people, they had to worship God only and worship him in the way he specified. For us, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. In verses 25 and 26, they were told again, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination unto your Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing." Now, I don't think God could say anything more strongly than he does here. And when we consider Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that's Matthew 5, verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, we know the scribes and Pharisees were total experts on not committing idolatry, even if only an outward show. This shows that we must be even better than the Pharisees in avoiding idols. And there is more than just physical side to idolatry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, we get to see the spiritual side of idolatry. "No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon is not just money. It's the whole physical carnal world. If we put the world before God, we are making an idol of it. We cannot serve God and also serve the physical world. That's making an idol out of the physical world. It may not be a carved idol. It may be not a picture in a frame hanging on the wall, but it is still an idol to us. And we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, "Therefore put to death in your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So how is covetousness idolatry? We know that covetousness is wanting anything we should not have, either because it belongs to some other person, or else it would be bad for us. If God says we should not have something and we covet it, we are making an idol of what we lust for. This definition is also stated in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Now, our whole society is built on lust. Materialism is lust. It is seeking to fill the void in us with material things. And that void exists because for most people, God is not first. and God will not take second place to anything. I find it interesting that the two longest commandments in number of words are number 2 and number 4. Both were effectively test commandments. The ancient nations of Israel and Judah were sent into slavery because of disobeying these two commandments. When you read through the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, they are filled with God condemning Israel for their idolatry. And God there tells us why he did not bring the adult Israelites into Egypt. We can read that in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 16. Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 16. We read there, "Because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols." As we read there, Sabbath breaking and idolatry. So there is certainly a need for a second commandment. God wants us to think of him as the all-powerful creator, the one who lives in eternity. And no image or idol, no matter how beautiful, can do justice to his majesty. All they can do and will do is limit God in our understanding and basically turn us away from our God.